Well, say it's good to see Brother Pete back, and his sidekick, Sister Paula, back there with us. And they sent me a card, and I haven't read it. I've been waiting for them to come back to church. It's good to see them back. And so we want to thank everyone for all the prayers, love, and kindness that you've shown us. Also, thank you for the delicious food, phone calls, and cards. We really appreciate they could have left that out. Pastor Denton and Joetta coming to the hospital for Pete's surgery. We're blessed having a wonderful church family. Look forward to seeing everyone at church soon. May God bless Pete and Paula. And I appreciate that card showing their appreciation for, we miss them when they're not here. And just glad to see them back. Keep Brother Keith Harper and Sister Darlene in your prayers, if you will. And they're going through a battle right now. And you're missed if you're not here. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Revelations. And Revelations chapter number 2 and verse 17. And I know some people, they don't really like preaching out of the book of Revelations. They say that they're afraid that they're going to add to or take away, and we know what the Bible says about that. But my answer is just preach what it says. And, it is, if you go to the very beginning of the book of Revelations, you'll find out that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's talking here in chapter 2. He's speaking to the seven churches. He starts out writing to the seven churches. And I'll tell you what, if there's anything to be known about Jesus Christ, I want to know it. I want to know more about my Lord than I did yesterday. I've had some before, they've asked me, how do you go about getting messages? And then they come in different ways. Sometimes the Lord will reveal them to me, sometimes through a dream. The other day, a couple Sundays ago, I preached a message that I dreamed about twice. And God gave me that, inspired, I really impressed upon me that I needed to preach that message. The following Sunday, I don't know how many rededications that we had. There's times that I'll hear another minister preach. And they'll say something, and I'll catch something that I've never seen before. And I'll go home and begin to do some study. And I'll study on that, and maybe I'll preach it, and maybe I won't. But about 4 or 5 years ago, I was reading in the book of Revelations, and I come across this phrase, and sometimes I'll preach on phrases. And I come across this phrase, and I begin to study on this phrase. This is not something that I just come up with overnight. And I began to study about this, and I never, Brother Brown was still here, and I told him, I said, Brother Brown, the Lord gave me a sermon about the white stone, but I said, I don't know when I'm going to get to preach it. That's how long ago that was. It's been a while. And sometimes I'll look at a phrase, and I'll do some study, and I'll listen to other ministers, and I've got a plethora of resources that at my disposal and in my library, if you will. And I'll look at different things, and so you don't have to be smart. You just got to know smart people. And so I've got about 4 years of studying. So don't get frustrated if I keep you a little over this morning. Is that all right? Now I'll try not to hold you too long. But he says in verse number 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I'm looking at the white stone, Now, I know there's a lot to be said about the new name that is given. And I'm not going to get into that this morning. I'm looking at the white stone. Now, he said he's going to give us a white stone. Now, I don't know of anybody that would give somebody a white stone for Christmas. Now, Sister Tanya gave me a lump of coal this year, but that's beside the point. How many has ever given a white stone for somebody for a Christmas gift? I haven't. I haven't ever received one. I wouldn't know what to do if somebody gave me one. So that kind of struck me as peculiar. But I wanted to see what Jesus said about this, what he was talking about. And, you know, the white stone almost always represents overcomers. He's talking to the church here. He said, to him that overcometh will I give the hidden manna and will give him a white stone. So first off, it is for overcomers. You know, as a church and as individuals, we're going to have obstacles in our life. There's going to be problems that arise, and there's going to be, it's not if you get knocked down, it's whether or not you get back up. You know, the famous boxer, Mike Tyson, was asked by a reporter whether he was worried about Evander Holyfield that was getting ready to fight and wanted to know what his fight plan was, and he answered, he said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And a lot of truth in that. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that I'm saved. I know that there's a lot of things I know, but sometimes something will hit you out of the clear blue and just knock the wind clean out of your sails. But the question is, will you get back up? We think we know, but life has a way of changing our plans. The white stone was given in situations. It's a sign of authority. The Father, for instance, the Father says to the Son, Son, we need some supplies. Go to the village and get supplies. The Son says, but how do I pay for it? The Father would give him a white stone. He said, when you get there, tell them what you need and just show them the stone. And it has my name on it. And it'll be okay. When we pray in His name. When we ask in His name. When we speak in authority, we speak in authority of His name. I'm talking about the white stone. He is that white stone. He gives us that power. It was used for authority, for visiting rulers. They would take the stone when they had a visiting ruler, maybe a king or an emperor would be out in another country, and whenever you're in our country, everything that you do is going to be taken care of. Here is this stone. I'm going to give you a white stone. When you come to our country, it has my signet upon it. It has my name upon it. Anything that you need while you're here will be taken care of. The Bible tells us, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A lot of times we live below our means. Well, why is that, preacher? Partially, I believe, because we haven't figured out that we need to become an overcomer. We get down, but we struggle getting back up. The stone was given to individuals when they fell on hard times. The king would give the person that was struggling a white stone. And that was to say that you could go into the king's treasure and get as much as you could hold in your hand and carry it out. God gives us more than what we need. He not only gives us salvation, He gives us healing. He keeps and protects us. He guides and directs us. I tell you what, it's unlimited, the bounty that God bestows upon His children. The white stone. Not only was a stone given for individuals that fell on hard time, but the stone was also given for admission. Whenever they would have banquets, large gatherings, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing more that just unravels my nerves than going to a formal setting somewhere. But they would give you a stone, a white stone that had, maybe it might have even a different name on it or initials. And to prevent somebody else from coming in that was not invited to the party, they would give you a new name and you would have to tell them that name of the person. And whenever they would take you and seat you, they would see you. You've been to banquets and stuff where they have a table set up and they'll have a little place card that has your name on it. I'll tell you what, that makes me nervous not knowing who I'm going to sit by. But I got to thinking about that. He said he would give me a white stone. There's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb one of these days. I don't know who I'm going to sit by or next to, but I hope I'm close enough that I can see and hear Jesus break the bread. I hope that I'm close enough that maybe He can pass me a biscuit or something. I'll tell you what, I want to go. I don't know about you, but I want to go to that place called heaven. They would also give a white stone for accomplishments. You know, we have just been watching the Olympics. Has been on television the last, I don't know how long. Seems like they go on and on and on. But Olympics is not anything that's new. You get to studying back and looking back and the Colosseums and everything that they had in Rome and different places. The games is not anything that's new. But they would take the winner of those games and they would give them a crown. The crown was just a lot of times made out of branches or maybe some kind of twigs or something that they would place upon their head. They'd give them two things, a crown. And the other thing was a white stone. You may say, well, I'm not interested in the crown. If you don't want a crown, I want one. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks of five different crowns in the Bible. I want my crown. What am I going to lay at His feet whenever I get there if I don't have a crown? But the crown will fade away. The crown was just made out of maybe olive branches or earthly materials, and it will soon fade away. But they would give them a stone that will never fade. That stone was, we have gold and silver and bronze medals now. But they would give them a stone, and that stone was something that they could carry and treasure for the rest of their life. It would never fade. This shows that I am a champion. I was given this because I am an overcomer. The Bible says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'm looking for a crown that will never fade. We can have crowns here, and the little girls can have tiaras, but I'll tell you what, soon they'll outgrow them, and they'll fade, and they'll get broken, but there's coming a time when we'll have a crown that will never diminish, but it'll be for eternity. Not only was the white stone symbolic of accomplishments, but also for acceptance. You know, the wife and I, we often talk as pastors. We can go out somewhere to eat, and we'll see other people from other churches. And they'll see the wife and I, and I don't know what it is, but they'll look us up from head to toe, sizing us up to see if we're fit for the kingdom. You know, some of y'all's got the same looks. I mean, and you go, you pastor at church? Yeah, I've been working all day. I don't wear a suit and tie every day of the week. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I mean, you can look at my hands and tell that I do more than sit behind a desk and thumb pages in the Bible. But there was, and I've been studying some on Rahab. You know, a lot of people wouldn't accept her in church. But she was mentioned in the lineage of Christ. You can think of me whatever you want to think. I've got a white stone. The white stone says I'm accepted. I don't have to worry about pleasing you or anybody else. I've got one person that I've got to account to, and that's Jesus Christ. And he said, if I'm an overcomer, then I'll have a white stone. They would take that white stone. They say, I may not look like you do. I may not act like you do and talk just exactly like you do. I may have a different accent, but I've got a white stone. I'm part of you. They would also, you know, in our country, we had slavery. Slavery was a horrible thing. But in biblical times, they had bond servants. And a bond servant, it was a lot different. But a bond servant would go to a wealthy man, and he would say, I have needs of clothing and food for my family, and I need a place to stay. I need shelter. And they would work out an agreement. You can work for me for so many years, and after your bond is completed and paid, well, then I will give you a white stone. Today we have banks and mortgage companies and loan officers, and instead of working for the individual, you'll go out and work a job and sweat 40 hours a week and take your hard-earned money and pay it back to the bank until your mortgage is paid off. We just do it a little differently and call it something else. We call it the American dream. But when that bond servant, everybody that knew that bond servant knew that he belonged to such and such rich man or master. When they finally seen him out on his own, and maybe he said, you know, I've my obligation has been met. I've got everything paid back that I need to pay back. I'm going to go back to my home country and my homeland. I think I can make it on my own now. And someone would see him out. Hey, you need to be back about your master's business. All he would have to do, Brother Virgil, is show him that white stone and say, the debt has been paid in full. You know, in the book of Leviticus, I believe it's chapter number 7, you'll find out that the high priest, whenever he entered into the holiest of holies, and there in the tabernacle, and began to offer sacrifices, you'll find out that he would put the sacrifice upon the altar. But there were certain things, certain parts of the animal, for instance, the right front shoulder, that the priest was allowed to keep. He didn't burn everything upon the altar. That was for Aaron and Aaron's sons. And by the way, he lived at the altar. But you'll also find out that whenever someone brought a lamb, seems kind of strange that they would bring a lamb, and God allowed the high priest to keep the skin of the lamb. Everything else had to be burned. And it kind of made me wonder, why the skin? I mean, what are you going to do with the skin? I mean, I like chicken skin, but if it's fried up real crispy, they say it's not very good for you, but I've never ate lamb skin. I think I'd have to get rid of some of the hair first. But you know what I found out, Brother Dave? The high priest would keep that lamb skin. And if somebody made an accusation against somebody else and said, "You're a sinner. What are you doing in the temple? What are you doing in the church house?" The high priest could go back and say, "Wait just a minute." He'd go back through and start thumbing through those hides, and he said, "Right here is the lamb. This family, this individual brought this lamb in for sacrifice for the remission of their sins. What sin are you talking about?" The white stone was given for sojourners that would come into the land. I'm just a traveler. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I'll tell you what, I don't need any of this world's goods. But as a sojourner, He provides what I need to sustain me. My treasures are laid up there. They're not down here. You may count your riches by money in the bank, by land and possessions, but I have something far greater than that. The white stone was given for citizenship. You went to vote. I'm not talking about New York. You can shovel snow there with, you got to have two forms of ID, but you can vote without one. But even in biblical times, if you was a foreigner in a foreign country, it was proof of who you was. I am now a citizen, and I have legal rights. The white stone was also given at the time of acquittal. You know, the judges, you would stand before a judge, they would have a court there. You would be judged by a tribunal, and the tribunal would have a lots, and I'm not talking about gambling. They would have lots that they would cast. One would be white and one would be black. After the end of the court proceedings, they would take and they would turn their back to the defendant. They had a little black bag, and they would put black for guilty, or they would put in a white stone for innocent. One of these days, you will stand before an almighty judge. The books will be opened, and God Himself will open those books. The Bible tells us that Satan, the accuser of the brother, will stand there and he will say, "But I know the sin that they committed. What about this and what about that? Oh, this day they done that." But He said He would give you a white stone. What sin Every one of us will stand before the judge. I'm getting ready to close. Come back to the music, if you will. My mind went to Joe Henry Hankins. Some of y'all have heard me talk about him in the past. If you ever get to read any of his biography or any of his writings, any of his books, do so. They're wonderful. Joe Henry Hankins. In his own words, he was a scoundrel. He grew up and he was one of several. I can't remember exactly how many children, but one of many children. Joe Henry got intoxicated under the Holy Spirit one day, gave his heart and life to Christ, became a minister, great preacher. But he had lived a rough life. All the Hankins was, they was rough. And his mother, back before they had hospice, they called all the children in. Seems like there was 12 or 13 children, to the best of my recollection. They called all the children in, and Joe Henry Hankins came in to see his mama. And she told Joe, she says, "Joe, I want you to send all the children out except for you. I want you to stay." The children didn't think anything of it, thinking that probably mom's getting ready to make funeral arrangements. Talked to him about what she wanted. She told him, said, "Joe, I want you to go over to the dresser over there, that top drawer. There's a book in there. I want you to get it out." He went over and opened the dresser drawer. It was a diary. He said, "Mama, what is this? I've never seen it." She said, it's a diary that I wrote. And I want you to read it to me. My eyes are getting to the point I can't see well." He opened it up, and on the first page was his oldest sibling's name. I believe her name was Sarah. It was a daughter. Underneath Sarah's name, it began to list all the sins that she had committed. He said, "Mama, I don't want to read this." She said, "Oh yeah, I want you to read it." She said, "You see, every day I read that diary of every name of every one of my children and all the sins that they committed." And she said, "It reminds me that I need to pray for them, for their sins, and for salvation, and for God to forgive them." And she said, "I'm not gone yet. So I still need to pray, and I hadn't prayed yet today." As Joe began to read off those names of his oldest sister, went on to the next sibling, finally got down to him. He said, "Mama, I can't. Please don't make me do this." She said, "Yes, Joe, go ahead and turn the page." Granting his mother's last request, he turned the page, and there his name was, Joe Henry Hankins. He said, "But Mama, there's nothing on the page." She said, "Yes, son, I made a promise to God that whenever you got saved, I would tear it out and start a brand new, fresh page." Prayers of mamas never expire. I don't remember how many of his siblings that ended up getting saved because of mama's prayers. I don't know about you, but I found my pearl. I found my rock, that white stone. Sure, I've had ups and downs, but I've been an overcomer. I've got back up. I failed, but I've got back up. Church, there is a reward. Don't give up. There's a prize to be had if we can just endure to the end. I don't know about you this morning, but I found my white stone. Stand with me if you will. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I think if you was honest with me, you could think back and say, I had a mother or I had a grandma that was praying for me. It's not by coincidence that you're here today. If you fall and get up, if you've never started, I'm going to encourage you to start. It's the best life a person could have, is living for Christ.